doors along the front of the homes instead. Cody's little fortress had four of them, and not a single window in it. Worse, all four doors were bolted shut and had the same small stone stoop under them. There was no way of knowing which one was the door and which ones were windows. It was like playing a bad game of Let's Make a Deal or The Lady and the Tiger. Ain't got time for this crap. Caleb curled his lip. All right, Monty, let's see what's behind door number two. Growling in frustration, he pounded on it. Door number four opened a few seconds later to show him one ticked off Cody. What are you doing here? Getting seriously pissed off? Well, you can do that somewhere else. I suggest over at 809 Bourbon. She moved to close the door. Ignoring the fact that she just told him to go back to Nick's, Caleb flashed to the door and blocked it before she could slam it on him. Her green eyes blazed with indignant fury. Desperate to lose an arm, are we? No, desperate to save Nick's life. She paled instantly as the furious light in her gaze turned to concern. What's wrong? In case you can't tell by the bloody bruises on me, he was attacked, and now both he and his mother are missing. She opened the door and let him into her quaint house that was way too ornate, pink, and feminine for his personal taste. Elaborate. Caleb set his bag down on her lace-covered end table. Adarian summoned me earlier to let me know that he was dying. Nick's killing him? That would be the obvious question. Too bad nothing with Nick ever went the way it was supposed to. Caleb shook his head. Adarian didn't know who had weakened him, and I still don't. The plan was for me to get Nick to Adarian so he could kill him, and then lock down Adarian's powers until Nick's ready for them. She gestured toward his bag. That explains your groceries. Yeah, and while I was getting them a short time ago, we were violently attacked.
So I heard and saw.
And you didn't think to come help?
I was told I wasn't welcomed or allowed. I figured if I went, either you or Nick would blame me for it. He hated to admit that she was right.
Anyway, he said, continuing. As we were heading back to Nick's, we heard on the police radio that Adarian had escaped jail. But he was too weak to do that. The demon could barely blink when I left him. So I'm thinking that whoever it was who got him out has kidnapped all three of them and is planning on becoming the next Malachi.
Cody screwed up her face in distaste. I just got wicked indigestion.
Good, 'cause I've had it all night. Can you locate Nick?
All I can do is try.
Nick came awake to find himself face down in a small cage inside what had to be the coldest cave on the planet. Shivering, he blew air into his hands to warm them, but all it did was form a cloud that quickly dissipated and left him even colder than before.
Am I still alive?
He wasn't sure. This place definitely wasn't heaven, and if hell was this cold, he had a major beef to make with his priests on their misinformation. But that at least made him remember his latest power that could really come in handy in this barren hole. Closing his eyes, he summoned the fire. His hands instantly lit up. Oh yeah, much better. Until it ignited high and almost set his head on fire. Great, just what he needed, singed off Terminator-style eyebrows. That would get him an awesome prom date. Never. Cursing, Nick shook his hands until they went out, then tried again. This time he managed a little better control over the size of the flame. Lifting his hands so that he could see more details about his prison, he scanned the empty ice cave. His cage was in a corner, and there was nothing except crystallized stalactites and stalagmites all around him. Something about it reminded him of a video game. Maybe because it looked like a really good place to get bodied. Was this one of the Antarctic demon realms Asheron had told him about? That would definitely explain the biting cold and the nasty smell that made his stomach knot in disgust. Off in the distance, he could hear dogs barking and wolves howling. Or maybe it was wolves barking, too. Did they do that? He wasn't sure. And speaking of, he heard the low rumble of a deep growl on his right. Whatever it was making that noise sounded massively huge. Nick scooted back in the cage, hoping whatever it was, it couldn't bite through steel, and that it kept walking past his area. After a few seconds, the beast entered through a small opening in front of the cave. Black as the darkness around them, it was a giant wolf. And the moment it turned to look at him, and Nick saw its luminescent purple eyes, he realized it was the same one that had attacked Caleb.
Oh, this can't be good.
Limping and bleeding, it approached his cage so that the beast could sniff it. Worried about Caleb, Nick bit his lip. While it appeared Caleb took a chunk out of the wolf, the fact that it was here and alive, and Caleb wasn't, didn't bode well for his friend. It bared its bloodied, sharp teeth, then growled and snarled at Nick, as if trying to reach him through the bars.
Get back!
A loud whip cracked across the wolf's back, causing it to recoil and howl, then snap at the leather cord.
Back, I said!
Two more lashes landed on it before the wolf backed down and limped over to a steel post that was embedded into the cavern wall. Nick stared at the trail of smeared blood staining the ice in the wolf's wake. He'd feel bad for the creature, had it not eaten Caleb. At least that was his thought, until the wolf collapsed and then turned into a guy who didn't look all that much older than him. He had thick, wavy, dark hair that fell to his shoulders and a couple days' growth of beard. Completely naked, he lay with his back to Nick. Scars marred almost every inch of him. Most were from a whip, but many others were bite marks, knife wounds, and bullets. Ignoring Nick and his cage, the woman who'd beat the wolf down approached the wolf slowly, as if expecting him to get up and attack her. When she was almost within arm's reach, she transformed her whip into a long, bladed staff, a blade she used so that she could poke him. She even went so far as to lift his face up with it. He didn't move. Finally satisfied that he wasn't playing a possum, she raised her hand toward the post. A chain materialized and then crawled over the ice to the man and looped itself around his neck to keep him there. Only then did she turn to face Nick. His breath caught in his throat. Around his mother's age, she was exquisite and ethereal. Long, white blonde hair fanned over a body that should be gracing magazines that would have him grounded for life if his mom ever caught him reading them. But from the waist down, she had the legs of a rotting corpse, one that came complete with the smell of the back end of an unwashed yak.
So, you are the Malachi.
She sounded disappointed. Good, maybe she'd let him go.
Who are you? Hell.
Not quite afraid of her, but rather apprehensive, he arched a brow.
Isn't it a little cold to be hell?
She laughed at that.
Not your hell, moron. I'm the goddess Hel, and this is my realm, Helheim.
Helheim, he knew from playing Dungeons and Dragons with Madag and his friends. Hell, he'd never heard of before. But Madag would probably be able to recite an entire dissertation on her, her family, and any insect she'd ever met. Even better, Madag would most likely know what, if any, weakness she had. Remind me to never make fun of him again for his bank of useless information. Nick stood up to face her.
Why am I here, and what have you done with my mother? I know nothing of your mother. I care nothing about your mother, just as I care nothing for you. You are only a means to an end for me, and as soon as I get what I want, I don't care what they do to you.
He threw one of his fireballs at her. She stopped it with a blast of ice that shattered it midair.
Instead of attacking me, boy, you should be grateful.
Grateful for being locked in a cage.
Grateful you're alive. According to my hounds, you were almost dead when he pulled the harvester off you.
Nick's pulse quickened. Finally, someone who knew what one was, though, to be honest, he'd have rather found the definition online.
Harvester? Soul eaters. They are sent to destroy anyone who is born of evil.
She walked a small circle around his cage.
Hard to believe something as puny as you is worth the life of a captive god.
Before he could respond to that, she vanished.
I'm not puny,
Nick shouted after her. While he might be thin and gangly, he was over 6 feet tall, not puny by any standards.
Much.
Sitting down, he turned his attention to the passed-out wolf, who was still bleeding all over the place. So the thing that ate his best friend had saved his life. Nick wasn't sure what to think about that. Not that he really cared. While he didn't like the thought of Caleb being hurt or dead, the one thought that scared him most was his mother. What had happened to her? Maybe Kirian had made it in time and was now keeping her safe. It was his only hope, and he intended to latch onto it with both hands and his teeth. Hours went by as Nick tried every power he could to escape his cage. Nothing worked. As usual, the universe mocked his attempts with a dose of ineptitude that made him wonder why the heck he kept trying when he should just lie down and think of porn princesses like a normal teenage boy. Dang you, Caleb, for your twisted pep talks. They kept him going even when it was stupid. Frustrated, he fireblasted the door again with both hands. The flames hit it, then rebounded back and singed both the hair on his head and that on his arms. Beautiful. I smell like a burned sewer rat. Hey, Casey, want to go eat dinner with me now?
You're wasting your time.
Nick jumped at the deep, heavily accented voice. Turning, he saw that the wolf was awake and staring at him with those luminescent purple eyes.
I thought you were dead.
Ignoring Nick's comment, the wolf lifted up a corner of the thick, warm blue blanket that covered him.
You?
Yeah. I was going blind from the sight of your naked hairy butt.
One corner of his mouth twitched, as if he started to smile, then caught himself.
And the pillow.
Now it was Nick's turn not to comment. No need in letting him know that even though he'd most likely eaten Caleb, Nick had felt sorry for him. Not to mention, the wolf was really lucky Nick's powers had worked and not turned him into a goat or something. But now that the wolf was awake, there was one question Nick was desperate to have an answer for.
Did you kill Caleb?
The Dave you were with?
Yeah.
He lives.
Nick's relief came out as a sharp burst of breath. He hadn't realized just how upset he'd been at the thought of Caleb dying while protecting him until just this second.
Looks like he got a pretty good chunk of you.
The wolf glanced away, then ran his hand through his dark, wavy hair. He grimaced as he saw the blood on his hand from an injury he must have had on his head. To his credit, he was handling the pain really well.
I'm Nick, by the way.
The wolf wiped the blood off on his leg.
I know.
He waited for the wolf to offer his name in turn, but after a few minutes he realized that the wolf had no intention of it.
You have a name?
Nick prompted.
I don't remember it.
Scowling, Nick snorted.
You're joking, right?
He shook his head, killing every last bit of Nick's humor. Wow, did he have amnesia or something else? A really bad suspicion went through him.
How long have you been here?
Nick asked. He cast an irritated frown in Nick's direction.
Why do you talk so much?
I'm Southern.
The deepened scowl on his face said that he had no idea what Nick was talking about, which meant he'd been trapped here for a minimum of several hundred years.
You don't get out much, do you?
That went right over the wolf's head. Without a word, he dragged himself over to the wall and licked at the ice.
Yuck.
Nick shuddered.
What are you doing?
He licked for a few more seconds before he wiped his hand over his mouth.
I'm thirsty.
Dude, really? Couldn't you just wait until they brought us water?
They don't bring water to us in here. You get what you scrounge for.
Nick's jaw went slack.
They don't bring us food?
He shook his head. Uh-uh, no way. He refused to believe what the wolf was telling him.
Dude, seriously?
We are immortal. We don't have to eat.
The wolf's rumbling stomach denied that. It was so loud, Nick could hear it from across the room. It made his own stomach cramp for food.
Oh, no, 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 no. This ain't gonna work. I have to have 3 squares a day, comprend?
I don't know that language.
Nick frowned. It had been English, but for one word. Food, I'm talking about food. What do we do when we're hungry?
Sometimes animals wander in if they get close enough. We have food.
Nasty. Dude, why you live here then?
Tell you what, you get me out of here, and I'll buy you the best meal you've ever had. We're talking étouffée, andouille, and gumbo so good you slap your mama for it.
Do you think I'd be here if I had a choice.
The wolf snarled viciously. That baffled him. The wolf had been free in New Orleans, and no one had been holding his chain when he came in here earlier. You were out of here and free. Why on earth would you come back? He scowled at Nick as if he didn't understand the question. But his confusion enlightened Nick, who finally understood.
Oh, you're like Caleb. You're enslaved.
No, I'm not enslaved. I made a bargain. I am here so that my sister is not.
Then get up and leave, and take my butt with you, please. The wolf shook his head.
My sister would have to serve in my stead, and she is not as strong. She wouldn't last a week here.
While I admire your devotion, that is whacked, and it makes me really glad I'm an only child, but since you love her so much, then you'll understand that I have to get out of here and find my mother, okay? I'm pretty sure she's in bad danger. The look on his face said that he had no idea what Nick was talking about. It was like the concept of a mother was completely alien to him.
Beast!
A deep, frightening level of ferocity came over him at the male shout that cut through their cavern and rebounded off the walls. He immediately transformed back into the wolf. Crouching low, he backed up against the wall, ready to pounce on whatever was coming toward them.
Where is he?
Another male voice demanded. Nick frowned as a giant man came storming into their corner. He drew up short the instant he saw Nick.
Who are you?
Nick, you?
Not Nick.
Balder, what's taking so long? I have a wager to win.
Coming.
Balder went to the chain that held the wolf captive and jerked it from the wall. The wolf went crazy, snarling and fighting against him as Balder jerked and dragged him toward the entrance.
Save your energy for the ring, dog.
Nick wasn't sure what they were about to do with him, but he had a pretty good idea. And judging from the way the wolf did everything he could not to be dragged out of here, he knew exactly what was waiting for him. Poor guy. It had to be terrible. But the one thing that event rammed home with vicious clarity was what would be done to Nick if Noir ever got a hold of him, and what Caleb's fate could be in the hands of another master. It was a sobering thought, and it spurred Nick to renew his fight to get out of this cage as fast as possible. These people were nuts, and the last thing he wanted was to be part of their sick, twisted world.
I've got to get home.
Nick glanced around, then decided to go for broke.
Ambrose!
He shouted, trying to summon his future self.
Boy, answer me. I don't care how crazy you are. I need your help, and I need it now.
Always in the past, Ambrose had come when he had called. If not physically, he'd talked to Nick in his head. But Nick hadn't heard from him in days. What the heck was going on? Chapter 18. Mount Olympus, the distant future. Terrified and shaking, Artemis hid in the same crevice she'd once used to play hide-and-seek with her brother Apollo countless centuries ago, when they'd been young and naive, back when theirs had been the most powerful pantheon that ruled. Never in those long-ago days had she dreamed that she'd be hiding here to save her own life. Her precious Nick was completely lost now. There was no part of him or Ambrose left. After all this time of his fighting his true nature, only the monster Malachi inhabited his beautiful body. Tears streamed down her face as she fought for self-control. She couldn't make a sound, or he'd find her and kill her, just as he'd done the rest of her family. Pressing her trembling hand to her lips to keep herself silent, she wanted to scream in horror and grief as her guilt mounted. She was a goddess. Why hadn't she been able to help him maintain his control?
Artemis.
She gasped at the low whisper of someone she'd thought was long dead. She glanced behind her to see an ancient god of order.
What are you doing here?
Trying to save the world.
You're too late.
In the most hopeless of hells, there is always one thing that remains. One thing that cannot be killed unless it decides to die on its own and is surrendered
by the one who possesses it. The indomitable human spirit, mankind's greatest gift and its worst curse. It was the only thing that not even the gods could defeat. Order offered her a smile. So long as one human has it, we can stop any evil, no matter how strong and powerful we think it is. Artemis wanted to believe that. She wanted to have hope again, but she knew better. There are no humans left. Never underestimate the survival of man or his capacity to sacrifice himself for what he loves most. Order held a hand out to her. We still have one small chance to stop the Malachi. Are you with me, little sister?
Artemis hesitated. The one thing Acheron had taught her, even the most minuscule of chances, could be turned into a great victory. All you needed was to find the courage inside to try for it. But she was so scared. What if she failed? Right now she was alive. If she stuck her head out of this hole, she could die. She could lose everything.
No. She'd already lost everything.
What she had in this hole wasn't living, and while survival had its place, sooner or later every creature deserved to have more than just meager, fearful survival. They deserved to live. If only it was as easy as it sounded, but life took courage. And I am not courageous.
She'd never been such.
Acheron had been right about that. She had always put her own well-being over those she loved. And what had it gotten her?
Misery. Solitude.
You are alive?
Yes, she had her life, but at what cost? She couldn't even face herself in mirrors anymore, because every time she met her own gaze, she knew what she'd done. And she couldn't hide from her conscience.
You can't change the past.
But she could change the future, and she could change the present.
For the first time in her existence, she found the one thing she'd never known she had.
Bravery.
Taking Order's hand, she nodded. Let us undo what has been done.
Nick growled as he tried again to break free.
I won't be held by you, he screamed out, hoping hell could hear him, and he meant every word. Gauchers didn't back down, they didn't give in, and no one would ever defeat him, not even a goddess. He kicked the bars, even though it bruised his feet and legs and jarred every inch of him.
It's hopeless. Shut up, he snarled at himself. I don't want your negative crap. If you can't help, get out of my head.
All of a sudden, he heard someone approaching.
Crouching low, he prepared himself to fight who or whatever it was.
Bring it, punk.
A huge, dark something lumbered slowly into his jail, casting a massive shadow on the wall. That was enough to make a half-grown demon wet his pants.
Nick backed up, tense and alert.
As quickly as it had grown to the size of the Empire State Building, the shadow shrank down to show it was the wolf returning. Nick expected him to head for his post. Instead, he limped on three legs, dragging his forward left one toward Nick's cage. Panting hard, and covered in foamy white sweat, blood, and scratches, the wolf paused outside the door to stare at Nick. There was a gash above his left eye, and the pain in his gaze was searing. It held Nick spellbound. And as they continued to stare at each other, the wolf turned back into his human form. Nick grimaced at the depth of the cut that ran along his brow. He needed stitches badly. The entire left side of his face was horrifically bruised, and his nose and lips were bleeding like crazy. His left arm was broken and twisted. He appeared so worn out and defeated that Nick couldn't understand how he kept from collapsing on the floor again. Before Nick could recover from his shock at seeing him like that, the wolf opened the door.
Go,
he whispered, gesturing toward the backside of the cave.
There's a small, narrow path that will lead you through the mist of shrills. They cannot hurt you unless you listen to them. Ignore whatever it is they say and stay on course. Move as quickly as you can. At the end of the path, you will emerge into a room that contains several doors. There you'll have to choose your way home. But beware. The easiest is the hardest, and the hardest isn't as bad as you think. And one of those doors will lead you to your death.
How will I know which is death?
The wolf winced as if a wave of pain went through him.
The paths are different for each of us. And you won't know if you've picked the right one until it's too late, but only you can decide which one takes you home.
He stepped back and fell to the floor. Nick went to him, but the wolf shoved him away with a snarl.
Why are you helping me? He asked, trying to understand the wolf's sudden turnaround.
I have no idea. I guess hell and the others are right. I'm stupid.
No, he was a hero. Come on, Nick reached for his right arm. We can get out of here together.
He shook his head.
You have to travel alone. It's the only way you'll make it. Besides, if I go with you, I can't hold hell and her hounds back from your trail.
But, no offense, but you don't look like you could hold a caterpillar back in your current condition.
He met Nick's gaze, and the fire in those purple eyes belied the pain that also burned there.
I'm stronger than I look. Now go, before it's too late.
What will happen to you when she finds out you freed me?
He laughed bitterly.
Look at me, kid. What more can she do?
Kill him? Torture him? With the gods, there was no telling. Guilt reared up and bit Nick hard.
I can't leave, knowing you're going to be punished for helping me. What kind of dickhead do you think I am?
Sometimes we have to make hard choices, and I'm nothing to you.
You're not nothing. You're a hero to me, the man who saved my life.
The wolf scoffed.
Definitely not a man. I'm just a stranger, and you have family who needs you. Go save your mother. And remember, so long as you follow your true heart, you will never make a bad choice.
Just as the wolf stayed here to save his sister, he understood family the same way Nick did.
Thank you.
The wolf didn't respond.
Reluctantly, Nick headed for the small opening. Just as he reached it, the wolf called out,
Nick?
He paused to look back, to see the wolf lying on top of the blanket.
Yeah?
Thank you for your gifts.
Anytime.
Inclining his head to the wolf, Nick wedged his body through the narrow slit. As he stepped onto the path, he considered their last exchange. The wolf was right, he was a complete stranger. Nick knew almost nothing about him. Except for one all-important thing. The wolf had given Nick a chance when no one else had. For that, he would always owe him. And he wouldn't squander the wolf's sacrifice. He promised himself he would make the most of this. More determined than before, Nick started down the dark, terrifying path. The air here was so cold that it set his teeth to chattering. It was so freezing even his bones ached. Who would have thought that there was something that could make his cage look desirable? Leave it to hell. Closing his eyes, Nick used his powers to set fire to his hands. It didn't work. Not even a tiny spark.
Ah, man, this sucked.
For one heartbeat, he actually considered going back so that he could at least see something other than the oppressive darkness that made his eyes ache. But he knew what waited for him there, and it was neither pleasant nor desirable.
Yeah, and what's in front of you might eat you.
True.
If his standard luck held, it would most likely be a whole lot worse. Whoever had come up with the saying, out of the frying pan and into the fire, had definitely met him in a former life. They must have been best friends.
With the hardest challenges go the greatest rewards.
He scoffed at that thought. Caleb's words offered about as much comfort right now as a good eye gouging.
And yet, as stupid as they were, Nick clung to them and trudged forward, hoping with everything he had that Caleb hadn't been lying about that.
That maybe once, just once, fate would work in his favor and not against him with a grudge match that seemed to take every breath he drew as a personal insult. Holding his hands out in front of him, Nick tried to feel for a wall or something solid, but the only thing was the ground beneath his feet. As the wolf had warned, he was completely blind about where he was heading. He could see nothing at all, just an unending hall of darkness that smelled like the underbelly of a turd monster.
There was also a strong popping sound that he couldn't identify. Suddenly something caught against his toe and tripped him. Nick belly-flopped on the ground so hard that it knocked the breath out of him. For a moment, he couldn't move as the pain racked him hard. When he went to stand, his foot slipped on the ice and he slid sideways into absolute nothing. Nick grabbed onto the ground as hard as he could while his body dangled over a cliff. Crap! His right hand slipped and he almost lost his left hand grip. Terrified, he scrambled to get both of his arms onto the correct side of the ledge. Finally, he managed to stop sliding, but he was still dangling over the edge of sudden death. The wolf had neglected to warn him about this. His heart thumped against his breastbone so hard it felt like it might come through it. He knew he needed to pull himself up, but honestly, he was terrified to even try. What if he slid again and couldn't catch himself? How far away was the ground? A few inches? Not so bad. A few feet? Doable. A few yards? Not pretty. His arms ached from the strain of holding his body's weight. He wouldn't be able to hold on much longer. Scared or not, he'd have to try. Bracing himself, he remembered the chant for strength Nashira had given him from his grimoire. Sacred light, sacred night, give me strength beyond my sight. He whispered the words over and over, focusing on those instead of his fears and doubts. Grinding his teeth, he swung his leg up and caught the edge of the path with his heel. It took every bit of strength he had to lift his body up and roll back onto solid ground. Weak, panting, and shaken, Nick lay on the walk and listened to the darkness while his heart continued to pound hard in his chest. That had been a lot closer to death than he'd wanted to come. Determined not to repeat that fall, he felt along the darkness until he found a small rock. At least he hoped that's what the smooth, round object was. Crossing his legs to make sure he didn't accidentally stumble, he remained seated and threw it over the edge where he'd fallen. For several minutes, he heard nothing. Not until it finally hit the bottom. The instant it did, lightning flashed all around, illuminating the entire cavern. Holy mother of God. He was sitting on an extremely narrow ice walkway with giant stalactites suspended over him by the narrowest of bases. Bases that were melting fast and cracking. That was the source of the popping sounds he heard. If one of those were to fall, it would impale him like a sharpened stake. In the water far below were ugly, humongous reptilian sea monsters that glided along the black surface. Nick couldn't breathe as he realized just how much danger he was in from everything around him. I'm gonna die. You didn't really think the journey would be easy, did you? Nick cringed at his mother's favorite taunt whenever things got bad for them. Get out of my head, Mom. I don't have time for your lectures right now. Yet he heard her voice loud and clear in his mind. Why do you think there's only a single stairway to heaven, but an entire highway to hell? Because it's a lot easier to slide down than climb up, and it takes a whole lot less energy to boot. But one thing about us Gauchers is that we never do anything that's easy when there's a major butt-kicking to be had. I get it, he snapped at himself. Nellie's dead. You can stop beating her. He had to keep going and not let anything stop him. And as tempting as it was to turn around and run back to the caged safety he'd left behind, he'd have to cross just as much dangerous ground to return as he would to move forward, where who knew what was waiting for him. Why did I throw that rock? 'Cause he'd wanted to see what was there. And whoever said curiosity had killed the cat must have watched it walk off this precipice and get eaten by the monsters skimming below. Okay, focus. Gotta keep going. And he couldn't do that until he got back on his feet. He bit back a whimper at the mere thought. Over, under, around, or blasting through like Bubba and Mark, there was always a way to get through any obstacle. You just had to find the right explosive. Letting out a deep breath, Nick braced himself to stand up and move forward. I'll just pretend I don't know there's a 500-foot iguana in a sea below waiting for me to fall. Or huge swords dangling over my head about to break off and plant me to the bridge. It could be worse. Yeah, right. Why did people say that when it was obviously bullshit? Really, it could not get worse. At least, that was what he thought.
But no sooner had those words gone through his mind than he heard the strident voices the wolf had warned him about.
You are going to fail.
Who are you to think that you won't? What makes you so special? Nothing, nothing at all. You're just like your worthless, selfish father. Everyone hates you. No one would care if you died right now. No one would miss you. They wouldn't even send a car to your funeral. Who do you think you are to venture here like somebody? You're nothing but a pathetic waste who should never have been born. Your mother weeps over your birth, and every time she thinks of you, the world would be much better off without you in it. Loser, stupid, retard, moron.
Every horrible thought he'd ever had about himself, every doubt, every insult and harsh word that other people had leveled at him echoed in the dank darkness. Their cruelty and his own shouted until he could hear nothing else, not even the pops of weakening ice. Whoever said that words could never hurt you was a flank rank moron, because every one of them tore through him and shredded what little ego he had. They left his soul bleeding in agony. He felt like he was walking barefoot over a glass meadow with his heart strapped to the bottom of each foot. Those words hurt so much more than any physical blow. And they voiced all the inner doubts about himself that constantly flogged him. I'm a socially awkward man, dork. No girl is ever going to want to be seen in public with someone as ugly and stupid as I am. Why should they? I'm never going to be anything more than a piece of ignorant backwoods trash eking out a sorry existence where I barely make rent.
You don't belong here with decent people, Gaucher. You belong in a dump with the rest of the garbage.
Tears filled his eyes. Acheron had been right. It wouldn't matter if he became president and ruled the entire world, if he led an army to save all of humanity. He'd always hear that hatred. It was forever carved into his soul. The weight of it all drove him to his knees. He covered his ears, trying to blot it out and not hear it anymore, but no matter what he tried, it wouldn't stop. If anything, it seemed to get louder. Nick screamed out in utter agony, "I hate all of you!" But that wasn't really what hurt him. It wasn't even the truth, and he knew it. He hated himself. He always had.
You will destroy the world. No matter what you do or try, it won't be enough. You will kill everyone you love.
Everyone believed that. Caleb, Cody, Ambrose, him.
You should just throw yourself off the edge and let the ugly iguana have you.
Mocking laughter rang out. Tears gathered in his eyes as he considered the future Ambrose had told him about. As he saw Ambrose's scarred face and angry, bitter eyes. His eyes. His face.
You should just lie down and die.
Everything was so overwhelming. If he were to die, his mother would be safe. Cody could return to wherever she'd come from. The world would be a better place.
Do it.
More tired than he'd ever thought he'd be at 16, Nick started to fall. I just want the pain to end.
What are you doing, Gaucher?
Nick frowned as he heard Caleb's growl in his ear that drowned out all the words of hatred.
When did you turn into a punk?
It was enough to slap him hard, and when it did, the lyrics from his favorite song spilled out of his lips as a breathless whisper.
If you're looking for trouble, just look right in my face.
Yeah, this Cajun don't run.
Not for nothing. And definitely not today. He rose up in the darkness and glared straight in its face. You want a piece of me? Come on, bitches, and get some. But you better not come alone. In that moment, he felt the heat of perseverance inside him rise up and take hold. It flamed so bright that he no longer felt the cold at all. Oh, hell no. Lowering his head, he moved forward with determined steps. He had things to do and people to save, starting with himself. He paid no attention to his haters, no attention to the dangers. He stayed focused on moving in a straight line as fast as he could. The voices became louder, but he did to them what he did whenever his mom started on one of her Olympic bitch sessions. Ignored it for everything it wasn't worth. He had 16 solid years of selective hearing training, and his teachers thought it was worthless.
Ha.
And in the end, the wolf was right.
The mists faded harmlessly away without hurting him, and he finally found himself in the room with multiple doors. All right. We're here. Each door had a small window in it. Nick went to the nearest one and glanced through it. The second he did, a monster jumped up and snarled in his face. Screaming, Nick jumped back. The monster pounded on the door, trying to get to him. Nick panted in terror. Thank God no one had seen him act like a girl. Well, not Simi or Cody. He would have done that a lot sooner than either of them. But Casey would have screamed like he did, and then some. At least I didn't wet my pants. But that was as close to spontaneous loss of bladder control as he wanted to come. Ever. He approached the next door with a lot more respect and caution. Looking in slowly, he frowned. It looked like a sunny beach. Water rolled against perfect snow-white sand. He could even hear birds singing. Nice. Gorgeous. Inviting. Definitely certain death. That had to be a trap. He'd seen this movie enough to know it. Narrowing his eyes, he tried the next contender, but it was too dark to see anything at all. Since the dark had brought him here safely, maybe he should choose this one. I was born from darkness. Might have the right symmetry. Still, he hesitated. Better to check out the other two doors before making a decision. No need to rush this when his life was on the line. Frowning, he stepped over. The next one was what appeared to be a meadow at dusk. Woods surrounded it. Since it was neither appealing nor scary, it might be a safe bet. Definite maybe on this one. Scratching his ear, he went to the last one and froze. Instead of a window, it was a mirror that reflected his image back at him. This was the right door. It made total sense. His biggest enemy was himself. Kyrian said that all the time. We know instinctively what to do, and still we don't. Whatever you do, Nick, don't get in your own way. Nick put his hand on the knob, then paused. What if I'm wrong? I have to trust myself to do the right thing. And every journey began with a single step. Opening the door, he stepped through it and took a moment to get his bearings while the door closed. The instant the latch clicked, the sunny sky above rumbled with thunder. Dark clouds rolled in and boiled, turning the sky into a deep, dark red. Blood red. Undaunted, Nick moved forward across the vacant field that faded until it turned into New Orleans. Looking around, he scowled. I know this place. It was where North Robertson ended, near the North Claiborne Bridge in the Ninth Ward. When he'd been a kid, he and Tyree and Mike used to play here. Tyree's grandmother lived in the little white shotgun at the end of the road, where the pavement stopped abruptly just short a few yards from the levee. Tall and heavy set, Tyree's grandmother used to sit on the front porch in her rocker, shelling beans or knitting, or fanning herself with the big old Jesus hand fan she'd gotten from church so that she could watch them and, as she so often shouted, keep you godless heathens out of trouble. They'd play ball near the levee or pretend to be wilderness explorers in the vacant, overgrown lot across the street. It had a cement pad where either a house had been and was destroyed or where someone had planned to build one and never had. Either way, it had been a great place for them to sit and eat the cookies Tyree's grandmother would bake for them on Sundays. And every time she brought them a batch, she'd say, Now y'all boys be careful. Don't get bit by some hungry gator coming up over the levee because it smell rotten boys with cookie sugar in them. I'd hate to have to tell your mamas you done got eaten now. They would exchange bug-eyed stares and keep watch for a gator that never came. Or tell each other they'd spotted one in the brush, and then they'd have to run for it or get eaten. Even in the hot, sweltering, mosquito-infested summers, those had been good times. How he missed being that innocent and carefree. Back then, he hadn't even known they were poor. Hadn't understood what his mom did for a living. No one in their neighborhood had looked down on them. Pity life couldn't always be like that. As Nick came up to the back of the house where Tyree's grandmother would hang her unmentionables and they'd chase lightning bugs, he smiled at the memory of a woman he couldn't have loved more had he been related to her. He hadn't thought about this place in years. The last time he'd been here, he was 8 years old. And they'd come to pay respects to Tyree's family
after they'd entombed his grandmother in St. Louis No. 1 with her husband he'd never met. Nick paused, as his heart broke all over again for the loss of such a wonderful woman. He could still hear Tyree's mother and aunts singing their mother's favorite hymns. Will the circle be unbroken? A chill ran over him as he saw a ghostly image of her still at the clothesline, fussing at him for slinging mud too close to her laundry. His throat tight, he cleared it. Miss you, Miss Mabel. Now don't you be sad for me, little Nicky. One day I'm gonna be up in heaven with them angels. But don't you worry none. I still have time to look down at my boys and smile with pride at the men y'all become. His eyes filling with tears, Nick reached a hand toward the image of her, knowing he couldn't touch her, but still feeling a need to try. The image vanished. Instantly. Blinking back his sadness, he glanced around. Why was he here? What was the point? Was it because he was trying to find his way home, and that this had been one of the first places where he'd learned to understand that word? With no clue, Nick headed for the bus stop on Claiborne at Tennessee. At least he knew how to get back to his condo from here. It wouldn't take him long. But as he turned to walk down Tennessee Street, he heard something strange overhead. It wasn't a plane or helicopter. He couldn't place a sound. Not until he heard a loud screech. Looking up, he saw a huge bird coming straight at him. No, not a bird. It was a winged, armored demon. One that swooped down, blowing fire at him. Nick dove toward a parked SUV, but instead of landing beside it, he went through the door. He rolled across the ground several times before coming to rest on his back. Aching all over, he stared up at a ceiling instead of the sky. What the? No longer out in the open, he was in school, between classes. Are you okay, baby? Casey knelt down beside him. Scowling, Nick looked around. Everything seemed normal, just another day at St. Richard's. Was this real? Gaucher? Coach Heffron snapped as he paused next to him and glared down at the floor where Nick was spread out. I hope you don't stumble like that during the game. Get up, boy. You're blocking traffic and embarrassing yourself and your team. Caleb stopped by his side and held his hand out to him. Nick took it and let his friend pull him to his feet. You all right? He asked. Nick wasn't sure. He glanced from Caleb to Casey to the other students he knew so well. Brynna was at her locker, talking to LaShonda about shopping. Stone and Mason were glaring at him from their lockers. Maddog walked past, his nose buried in a notebook with pages spilling out of it. It appeared to be right. Everything as it usually was. Nothing strange other than how he came to be here. Yeah. Casey reached up to rub his head. I don't know, you took a bad fall. Not hard enough, Cody mumbled as she walked past them, and the light caught against the heart necklace he'd given her. She cast a malevolent glare at him that added credence to this being real. Maybe that was how the doorway worked. It just threw you right back into a normal day. Casey snarled in Cody's direction. Jealousy doesn't become you, bitch. Then she leaned into Nick. Ignore her. You've moved up in the world. Yeah, this felt normal. Caleb handed him his 9,000-pound backpack. Nick leaned in to speak to him so that Casey couldn't overhear anything. What happened with my mom and dad? He blinked innocently. What about them? Opening his mouth to elaborate, he snapped it shut. The busy hallway, filled with nosy ears, was not the place to have this discussion. Nothing. Maybe the door had reset the past? Maybe everything had been a dream. How would he know? Stone accidentally bumped into him as he headed for class.
You look even more like a freak in those clothes, Gaucher. You should go back to your trailer trash wear.
Caleb shook his head. Ignore him, Nick. He's just jealous you're the hero and he's a loser. Nick scowled in confusion.
Hero?
The game? You scored the winning TD Friday night after Stone fumbled the ball, don't you remember? Okay, it must have dumped him forward in time. Caleb arched a brow at Nick.
Maybe you ought to
go to the nurse.
I'm fine.
Sort of.
Since he wasn't sure which period it was, never mind the day of the week, Nick walked with Caleb, who didn't seem to think it odd that Nick was with him. Hopefully this was one of their shared classes. But since they were in the back hallway of the school, there was no clock for him to check the time. Caleb went into Richardson's stark, bland room. Great. Couldn't the dimensional doorway have dropped him back later in the day? No, he had to be in the Hags class. Figures. But at least it was study hall and lunch. Richardson narrowed her beady eyes at him in his new clothes.
What are you wearing, Mr. Gautier?
Nick bit back a caustic retort at her deliberate mispronunciation of his last name. She hated Cajuns, and in particular, she hated Cajun French, especially if you mixed it with English, which was why it was a moral imperative that he break out his most charming grin and thickest accent.
Pourquoi, cher, je voulais pas m'obstiner avec toi? Ça me fait de la peine that you take issue avec mon linge. Je fais le mieux par je peux, hein? Why, hon, I don't want to argue with you. It pains me that you take issue with my clothes. I do the best that I can.
Oh, yeah, she was madder than the devil now. Her face was so red it matched her tacky eyeglasses.
Sit down, Gautier, before I rat you up.
Nick winked at her.
Je t'aime tout.
Stop baiting her, Caleb mumbled under his breath.
Can't help it.
For my sake, try. Nick sat down and opened his books to do homework. He'd just started when someone threw a wadded piece of paper at him. Scowling, he looked over to see Ben, another friend of Stone's, glaring at him.
What pimp did you shoot for that outfit, Gautier?
Letting out a breath in frustration, Nick didn't comment as he returned to work and saw the riddle they wanted him to solve for English. It can be stolen, but never bought. It can be given, but never taken. It can be stepped on, but cannot walk. It can fly, but has no wings. It can sing, but has no voice. It can be broken, but still it works. It can be left, even while it follows. And though it's easily commanded, it can never, ever be demanded. What was any of that crap supposed to mean? God, how he hated homework. As usual, class dragged on until he was ready to scream. The 20 minutes he had to wait before they could go to lunch seemed like an eternity. He didn't relax until they entered the cafeteria, but his relief was short-lived as other people started making comments about his new non-Hawaiian shirt look.
You think he went gay?
No, I think he was always gay. Nick batted his eyelashes at the all-male table of Stone's cronies as he stopped after their comment and pursed his lips.
Why, I know all y'all looking for new boyfriends, but I'm happily taken.
He looped his arm in Caleb's and pressed off with him toward the food line. Caleb gave him a stoic stare.
What? Nick asked innocently. Since I'm your boyfriend, the least you could do is buy my lunch.
Nick scoffed at him. Chivalry is so dead, you should buy mine. Caleb rolled his eyes as he plopped a wad of mashed potatoes onto his tray and moved down the line. Once they'd paid, Nick headed for Casey, who was at a table with two of her friends. She scowled as he sat down beside her. What are you doing? He exchanged a confused stare with Caleb.
Having lunch with my girl?
Frowning even more, she looked at her friends.
Which one of you is dating the loser?
Ew, not me. That's F. Stephanie raked a sneer over Nick's body.
I'd go all girls school first.
Stone shoved Nick from behind.
What do you think you're doing?
Even more confused, Nick stared at Casey.
What game are you playing?
Stone, she snapped. Do your job and get this stupid dork away from me.
Stone and his friends fell on Nick so fast and furiously that he didn't even have time to swing a single punch. One minute he was standing, the next they had him on the ground, stomping him like Alan, Tyree, and Mike had done.
Caleb?
For once, he didn't come to his aid. Instead, Nick's entire being changed. He went from his current self back to the day he'd started at St. Richard's. Barely 5'2", he was gawky and scrawny as Mrs. Pantol introduced him to the class. This is Nick Gautier. He's a new student.
What'd he do?
Stone had laughed.
Cheat to get in? I know he didn't bribe anyone. He can't afford shoes that fit. He dang sure can't afford to bribe somebody. And what dumpster did he steal that 1985 backpack from?
Laughter erupted.
Loser, go back to the trailer park.
Is this really what you want?
Nick turned around, scanning the room for the source of that voice.
What?
A shadow manifested beside him. You don't have to go back to this. It's your life. You control it. How easy the voice made it sound.
I don't control other people.
Don't you?
Well, he did have the power of persuasion when it worked, which was rare.
Not really.
Yes, you do, she whispered in his ear.
She placed a dagger in his hand and pushed him gently toward Stone.
Kill him and put your past to rest so that you can move into your future.
Nick's heart pounded at the unexpected order.
What?
You want to go home. It requires a blood sacrifice. Cut his throat. He'd never hesitate to cut yours.
Nicky?
He heard his mother calling for him.
Where are you? I need you to help me. Nicky, come home.
Your mother will die if you don't get to her.
Nick gripped the knife tight and stared at it. He wanted to go home more than anything, and he had no love whatsoever for Stone. He took a step forward, then stopped. Something wasn't right about this. It felt wrong. Real wrong. Turning, he ran for the door and jerked it open. But instead of exposing the school's hall, he found Ambrose in the doorway, glaring at him. His eyes blazed that evil demon red that Nick despised.
You have failed me,
Ambrose growled.
How? I'm trying.
You are failing. Again.
Ambrose seized him and turned him around in his arms so that he could keep Nick from moving. One moment they were in the classroom, and in the next they stood high atop the Jackson Brewery that looked out over a burning New Orleans landscape.
Embrace your destiny. We are the end of all things.
Horror filled him as he watched the things he loved most perish. Ambrose's wings unfurled and flapped around them.
There is nothing we can do. The harder we fight, the sooner it comes. Give in.
Tightening his grip, Ambrose launched into flight with Nick in his arms.
Say the words, Nick, and we will be one.
No! Nick punched him, hard, causing Ambrose to drop him. Wind rushed over his body, tearing at his hair and skin as he plummeted toward the ground at a frightful pace. I'm gonna die. The ground came closer, faster and faster. Nick kept waiting for Ambrose to return and save him, but he didn't. There was no Caleb, nothing. No one was going to save his life. It was over. Closing his eyes, he waited for impact. Chapter 19. Caleb paused as he left Cody's bathroom, and a flash of something caught his eye. Her bedroom door was slightly ajar. Pushing it open more, he skimmed the frilly pink room in search of what had called out to him.
It must be my exhaustion.
He stepped back, then froze as it happened again. It was a symbol she'd painted into her wall. Barely discernible, it only flashed in response when he touched the perimeter of the room. That was normal, since he was a demon. It was how protection symbols and spells worked. What wasn't normal was the design of it. Or the ancient bow that was fastened above her headboard. His breath left his body as he was thrown back in time to when he'd last seen those items. It was impossible for Cody to have them. The lady who'd owned them would never, ever have allowed another to use either. What are you doing? Cody snapped, moving around him so that she could shut her door, but Caleb was in no mood for her attitude. Stepping past her, he entered the room, causing the emblem to blaze like fire on the left-hand wall. A stylized woman, she had her long hair flowing back while she held a bow and arrow aimed for the skies. It was the symbol of Dexaria Bellum, the Huntress,
the same emblem that had adorned his battle shield. His hand trembling, he reached for the bow. Just as his fingers brushed the wood, it flew from the wall into Cody's grasp. No one touches my bow!
Your bow?
He asked incredulously. She lifted her chin in defiance.
Yes.
Fury set him on fire, and he closed the distance between them. It took every piece of patience he had not to grab her and shake her until she answered his questions. Where did you get that?
None of your business.
He gestured to the black feathers that were attached to the top of it by a thin leather cord.
Do you know what those are?
Tributes?
From?
None of your business. Caleb felt his eyes change to his demon's vision as she awoke the dangerous part of him with her repetition of the same useless answer.
There, you're wrong. And if you want to live another minute, you will tell me what I want to know or we will go to war until one of us is dead. Where did you get Bathima's bow?
He watched indecision play across her face as she debated if she was going to answer or fight. After a full minute, she drew a ragged breath.
My mother gave it to me, and I invoke your most sacred oath that you pledged to her when you offered her your tribute,
that you will never tell another being who and what I am.
Stunned to silence, Caleb couldn't move as those words sank in. It wasn't possible. How could Nakota be?
You're her daughter?
I am.
And then he saw it. Before his eyes, Cody changed from her current pink tee and jeans into the leather armor the women of her mother's army wore. Her hair was lighter than her mother's, and she was shorter, but the features were the same, especially the shape of her eyes and lips, the shapely build of her body. No wonder Cody had been so fearless in their fights. Her mother was the original goddess of order and justice. Clasping his fist to his shoulder, he fell to one knee before her and lowered his head.
I pledged my eternal troth to your mother, and I would die for you.
Cody felt tears sting her eyes at Caleb's sincerity.
Out of my mother's generals, you were the one she prized above all others, the one she trusted most.
He rose up to tower over her again.
Then why didn't you trust me?
Too many centuries have passed. You've spent a long time in captivity to a monster who still holds sway over you. Both of those can change even the strongest and most steadfast heart.
It hasn't changed mine.
I know. I should have told you sooner, but I didn't dare. Not while my orders conflicted with yours.
Caleb turned suspicious at that. Bathimas had always been about right and justice over murder. She would never condone the murder of even an innocent Malachi.
Your mother sent you to kill him?
No. The powers I serve did. It is because of my mother that I haven't.
That made sense.
You're judging him.
She nodded. I don't see the monster yet. Therefore, I can't justify taking his life.
And your love of him has nothing to do with it?
Her face turned bright red.
Don't deny it,
he said, cutting her off when she opened her mouth to speak.
I can see it as plainly as a flare over an open sea at midnight.
She sighed wearily. When I was sent to kill the Malachi before he took all of his father's powers, I wasn't expecting to find Nicholas Gaucher.
Yeah, me neither.
Caleb narrowed his gaze at her.
So what do we do?
Right now, we find him and save him. Then we will see.
Such sweet ambiguity with life, death, and fate. Cody was definitely not her mother. Instinctively, Nick threw his arms out as he was about to slam into the ground. The moment he did, his wings came out and spread themselves wide, lifting him up and away from the pavement.
Oh my God, I'm flying.
Forget driving. This was the most incredible thing he'd ever done. Until his wing clipped a wire and he careened sideways. He caught himself an instant before he stained the side of a building.
This is awesome,
he shouted, then glanced around to make sure no one had seen his outburst. The last thing he wanted was to look stupid while doing something so very badass. Ah, yeah, this was living. Come get me now, he dared his enemies. The words had barely left his lips before someone shot a ball of fire at him. He jerked away from the blast, too fast and too far. Unused to his wings, he didn't have the best control, so he ended up slamming into another building. Yeah, that was gonna leave a mark. I've gotta get away from these things. Nick headed out for the Mississippi River. There, he'd only have to avoid bridges.
Why do you choose to suffer?
Nick slowed, as the voice rang out in his head.
I don't. Then why do you not join us? You are a Malachi. You don't have to put up with anyone insulting or belittling you ever. You have the power to be anything you want, to have anything you want.
Fine, then. If that's true, there's only one thing I desire. I want to go home.
Why? Explain to me the mind of someone who chooses to go where no one wants them. I have seen how they treat you. What makes you desire that?
Nick slowed even more as those words hung in his head. You know, the freaky voice has a point. Why did he want to be put down by others? Was he not abused enough as a kid? But that was childish, he suddenly realized. There are two sides to everything. It was Ash's wolf story. What you were focused on are my nuisances, Nick told the voice. And I have no desire to see them again.
Then stay, and never be insulted again.
I can't.
Why?
Nick laughed as he finally understood the point of this journey, and the way home. The wolf had given it to him. You know the answer. You wrote it in my notebook. It can be stolen, but never bought. It can be given, but never taken. It can be stepped on, but cannot walk. It can fly, but has no wings. It can sing, but has no voice. It can be broken, but still it works. It can be left, even while it follows. And though it's easily commanded, it can never, ever be demanded. The shadow fluttered in front of him with an arched brow.
Do you know the answer?
Of course he did. My heart. The shadow appeared impressed.
In all these centuries, you alone have learned our riddle.
Does that mean I can leave? Nick asked, hopefully. The scenery faded until they were again in the dark cavern. But this time, there was only the one door that had no window. The phantom lowered itself to the ground to tower over him.
When you are ready, you may go.
Nick headed straight to it. Don't have to tell me twice,
but...
Hesitating, he looked back at the spirit.
I seriously hate that word.
Yeah?
You can stay here, where you will be respected and feared by all, where no one will ever dare to mock or belittle you. The choice is yours.
I already gave you my choice. I want to go home. The door opened, but instead of being elated, Nick was duly cautious. Was it another trick? With your luck, why should you doubt it? Yet for once, he decided to go with faith and to follow his heart, like the wolf had said. Bracing himself, just in case, he walked through the door and ended up right where he'd started, outside his condo. You're messing with me, right? Nick scanned the street. It was a lot darker now, and so quiet it was downright spooky, but that didn't matter. He had to let his mom know he was safe. Opening the iron door to his building, he rushed in and sprinted up the stairs. When he got to their condo, the door wasn't quite pulled to. A wave of furious fear rushed through him. His mom would never leave the door ajar, not for anything. She was so paranoid she even locked her bedroom and bathroom doors. Ma? He called, pushing it open, cautiously. Stopping dead in his tracks, he surveyed the damaged living room. But it was the blood on the floor and ceiling that he couldn't stop staring at. Was it his mother's? That very thought terrified him.
Mom! He called, running to her bedroom, hoping she might be safely locked in there. She wasn't.
It was as empty as his heart. And it was just like Ambrose had warned him. He had put his mother in harm's way, and when she needed him most to protect her, he hadn't been there.
How could I do this to her? How?
Unable to stand the pain and guilt, he turned with the intention of finding Caleb and then hunting down his mother's whereabouts so that he could kill who or whatever had taken her. Chapter 20. Summoning Caleb to his side, Nick knew he'd changed somehow. He could feel it with every molecule of his body. He was stronger and more confident now, more sure about his powers. That cave and his walk home had done something strange to him, like some inner cosmic switch had been flipped into overdrive. But he didn't have time to investigate it, not while his mother was missing. Caleb! He shouted. To his relief, Caleb finally appeared in Nick's living room by his side. His gaze suspicious, Caleb raked a slow stare down his body. It is you, right? What kind of question was this? Who did you think was calling you? Nick asked, sarcastically. Caleb shrugged. I had no idea. I knew it wasn't your father, and though I suspected it was you, you've been missing. I didn't want to pop into a bad situation blind, so I dragged my feet a little. Nick could forgive him that, especially after having seen the wolf and what real captivity could mean for Demonkin. Caleb had a right to be cautious. Sliding closer to him, Caleb cocked his head as he gave Nick a piercing stare. It looked like he was ready to bolt or fight if Nick made any wrong or sudden move. Part of Nick wanted to say boo to see how high the demon would jump in fear. Only respect for Caleb's quick and deadly overreactions kept his impulse under control. What has happened to you? Caleb asked. Had his skin turned green? While Nick could feel an inner change, he wondered what Caleb saw on him that made his friend so skittish and hesitant. What do you mean? Caleb took Nick's chin.